Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Dr. Cindy Heiler. She's an emergency veterinarian, and she is going to talk to us about what do you need to have in your first aid kit. So welcome, Cindy.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. I've heard your speech on this at the German Wirehair Pointer National, so I know you're the one who can can do this.
I've done it a few times.
A few times. Yes. Can you give us just very briefly your background, when you got started in dogs, why you chose to be a veterinarian, all that kind of thing?
Well, I wanted to be a veterinarian in high school, so that was like 16. And when I finally got into vet school when I was around 27. I've been a veterinarian for 31 years. I was a licensed veterinary technician before I became a veterinarian. 2 years after being a veterinarian, I ended up with a hit-by-car German Wirehair Pointer puppy, and the owner wanted to put him to sleep. I said, give him to me, and I'll see what I can do. And that was my first Wirehair Pointer, and that was in 1987.
That was Kai, wasn't it?
That was Gunther.
Oh, Gunther, yes. Oh, my gosh, now I remember.
Gunther was the first.
Very cool.
Bought my second one in 93. That was Greta. Rescued her brother from being put to sleep. He had an intestinal foreign body. That was Kai. And that was pretty much all she wrote. I'm now up to around 12, and I've bred quite a few, more than 20 champions now, and have a dual champion and 6 or 7 master hunters to my credit.
Absolutely. And a German Wirehair Pointer Club of America All-Star winner as well.
Twice. First time and the third time. And national director.
Yes, so. Yes, you are on the board. You're a very busy woman, and you constantly amaze me. I've watched you in action conducting emergency veterinary medicine at innumerable Wirehair Pointer Nationals.
There's been several.
Including saving a dog that was bloating and a few other things. And you are in practice as an emergency room veterinarian, correct?
I worked last night.
And according to what you just told me, you haven't slept yet.
I have not slept yet. And we were busy till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh. You are a wonder. We're going to get right to this. Maybe you can catch a nap before you go back to work tonight. What do you think?
I hope so. Actually, I don't have to work tonight, so we're
good.
In good shape.
Phew! I feel so much better. I was getting a big guilt trip here.
No guilt.
Okay, so Cindy, what is it that every single exhibitor, field trialer, you name it, what does everybody need in their first aid kit? Basic first aid.
Well, potentially what they need is first, maybe a first aid book would be good, because unless you do it a lot, you don't remember all the nuts and bolts of what you should do.
Okay.
You also need to take a first aid course if you can. You can take a Red Cross first aid course, because people are just less furred animals than dogs are. And a lot of the things are the same. I mean, you can do CPR on a cat or a dog or a person or a bird or a rabbit, and it's all very similar.
Okay.
So, you know, you want to get some training, because the more you know, the more you can see what's wrong, the quicker you can get to the problem, because you're going to kind of have to diagnose it yourself to the extent of what you should do. Be it, this is bad, I need to call the veterinarian, we need to go to the vet now, such as bloat and dog bleeding internally and rattlesnake bites are time-sensitive things. You know, you need to know, we need
heat
to pack
stroke,
up and go.
That sort of thing.
Heat stroke, exactly. Heat stroke's another. So those are time sensitive. A cut on the arm or cut on the body, as long as it's not invading the chest cavity, is not as time sensitive. You know, you can go to the vet, and ideally a cut should be treated within the first hour. But if you don't notice it for a couple hours, the dog isn't going to die or that cat's not going to die. It just is a bigger chance of being infected. But every first aid kit needs a thermometer. And if you're old school and you have the mercury thermometers, don't keep those in your car because they'll pin and they don't work anymore.
Good tip. You
want the electronic thermometers. Then you need bandage material. Everyone should have that. So gauze sponges or Telfa pads. Vet wrap, you can buy it. Even almost every store has vet wrap now, but it isn't necessarily called vet wrap. It's just the non-inherent dressing that you put on, mainly pretty colors at the vet hospital.
Yes, and at the dog show.
And at the dog show, yeah. Antibiotic ointment is a good thing to have, and I prefer the kind with lidocaine in case you need the more advanced people. I teach how to staple wounds so they can actually close them themselves. Because if you're out hunting 3 or 4 hours from the vet, it's going to be kind of impinged on you to clean up the wound and close it and staple it. And it's not rocket science. Pretty much anyone can do it. You just need a little bit of a lesson and a skin stapler.
Okay.
And you can buy those in a lot of the animal supply houses carry them.
Right, the Fosters and Smiths and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Saline. I was thinking if you're flushing wounds, you want to have saline in there, yeah?
Yep. You want saline or betadine or chlorhexidine, some type of disinfectant. You can get saline and you can actually just buy the eyewash stuff that's just pure saline and use that because it's good to have eyewash in your kit too in case your dog gets something in its eye, rinsing it out or skunk spray, things like that. You need to rinse it out. So eyewash is one of the things, but on my list would be thermometers number one because anytime you have a kind of a wobbly dog, you want to take their temperature, make sure that they're not overheated. And if they're not overheated, then you need to think of stuff like, is it thinking about having a seizure? Is it a puppy and it's hypoglycemic? Because there's several reasons for being wobbly, but overheated is going to be the most common one. So bandage material, the antibiotic ointment, the flushing syringe, or just the ability to clean the wound. So you can stop bleeding because there's nothing worse than to come to the vet hospital and your dog's bled a bucket because you didn't put a bandage on it. And you don't have to be fancy. You can take toilet paper. You can take paper towels. I've seen paper towels with rubber bands wrapped around it to keep it on the pet. You know, whatever it takes to apply pressure to a spot so that the dog doesn't keep bleeding while you're in transport. Nail clippers and quick stop. You will see dogs that it's not going to be any dogs that are in the show ring, but some dogs have very long nails that get them torn on things, and you need to remove the nail at the site of the break to get it to stop, because otherwise it's going to be painful and it won't stop bleeding.
You see that in your dogs that are out in the field hunting.
And I see that in dogs that get their toenail stuck somewhere. And so you need to cut the nail off, and you need to have quick stop too. But most people at the dog shows have quick stop in their go bag, so they would have that. Ophthalmic antibiotic ointment without steroids, okay? No steroids in your eye ointment. Because if you have a scrape or a ulcer on the eye, some kind of scratch, steroids make it worse, so it won't heal with a steroid. So just regular antibiotic ointment, then you can't make the mistake and be causing more harm than good. I tell people to have cortisone ointment or cortisone spray for those little bug bites, hot spots, things like that. Because the sooner you get the dog to leave it alone and calm that area down, the better off the pet's going to be, and they won't be chewing at their coat. Amoxicillin is my kind of go-to antibiotic. Many dogs will vomit on cephalexin, which is another cephalosporin, because they don't tolerate it. And most dogs keep amoxicillin down fairly easily. And, you know, if you overdose it a little bit, it doesn't cause any harm. So you can give a little bit smaller dog a capsule for a bigger dog, and you're not going to do harm for one or two doses. Benadryl is another thing that everyone should carry. Metronidazole is important for those cases of nonspecific diarrhea. Metronidazole is and can be overdosed. If you overdose metronidazole, you cause neurological signs.
Yep.
And you'll get animals.
I've actually seen it.
Wobbly. Yeah, well, so have I. In a few cases. Both of them, we thought that they needed neural consults until we stopped the metronidazole, and suddenly they got better. So you want to be careful on dosing metronidazole. Tramadol is another good drug to have. It is a controlled substance, and the vets are pretty much cranking down on handing it out now. So, A, if you want tramadol, you need to, A, know your vet. The vet needs to know you, and they're probably only going to give you 2 or 3 days worth. But that 2 or 3 days gets you time to get to your veterinarian to get more. So those are the big four drugs. Also recommend hydrogen peroxide. Only to make the dog vomit. I don't use it in wounds because hydrogen peroxide oxidates the wound, so it actually causes tissue destruction. So you don't want to kill any more cells or pop cells with your hydrogen peroxide. And you can actually burn the esophagus by giving it if you give it too many times. So you want to give it no more than twice and no more than 3 to 5 milliliters per pound.
Do you recommend doing a mixture of hydrogen peroxide and water or just straight?
Just straight hydrogen peroxide. You can give them water afterwards, but you're going to make them vomit better with just the hydrogen peroxide. It's the oxidative process and the bubbling that causes the stomach to rebel and vomit up. You know, you only want to use it if they've gotten into something they shouldn't have and you feel that causing them to vomit is going to be more beneficial than the potential harm of causing them to vomit.
And so talk about times that you don't want the dog to vomit.
You don't want them to vomit anything that's caustic. So if it's an acid, it's burning going down and it will be burning coming back up. So you do a double burn. You don't want to do that. Caustic, so alkaline and acidic substances are not good. When in doubt, call one of the animal poison control and ask. You know, it costs just $35, $40, and they tell you if you should make it vomit. If the dosage is such that it could be toxic, then you could save a vet visit if it's not toxic and you don't need to worry. Or that I even have people come in, oh my God, it ate this plant. And I said, well, that's not toxic. So you've spent $82 for me to tell you that you didn't need to come in. And you didn't need to worry, or you didn't need to make it vomit at home.
Right.
Last week, we had a case where they called up and said, my dog got into gopher poisoning. And I said, tell her not to make it vomit and tell her to get it in immediately because the gopher poisoning is zinc phosphamide. I'm going to have to look that one up for you. In inducing vomiting, it actually releases a gas that could kill you.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
We warned the owner and the dog actually vomited in the car en route, but they knew that it was toxic, so they opened up the windows.
Oh my God.
But when I heard about it, which was several years ago, I said, oh geez, veterinarians can die with this one. So they recommend vomiting it, taking the animal outside to vomit, and then handling the vomit with care. So we gave him gloves and trash bag and everything like that to go clean his car out. And they evacuated all the animals out of the car because they brought everyone in the car.
Oh, my God.
And then we neutralized the acid in the stomach and treated it. And the dog did fine. But that's one poison you don't want to make him vomit, lest you die.
Right. That's very scary. That's one even I didn't know. That's amazing. So I think you touched on something a little bit earlier that I would like to go back to because God knows it saved my life a million times. And that is to know your veterinarian. Make friends with your veterinarian. Ask them questions. Learn from them and acquire enough knowledge. Is that something that you... I mean, certainly I know it's the case for you because you've done this for me, but how do you talk to people about that who aren't blessed with you as their friend and veterinarian?
Well, one thing is most veterinarians, if you ask questions, they're happy to teach, okay? And if your veterinarian isn't, you may want to find a different veterinarian. But if you, you know, you're not pushy, but ask questions like, I really want to know about this, they're going to be happy to tell you about it. And I'm always happy, especially if I know the person in the fancy. I have people that come and say, you know, I need a first aid kit. Will you put one together? And I'll put one together for them. I ask them how much their dog weighs, and I sell it to them at cost or barely above.
You really need to sell it for more money. I've told you that before.
Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, I'm not in it to make money. I'm in it to save lives.
And that is what makes you incredibly special, Cindy. And will we be able to provide a way for people to get in touch with you other than just calling you on the phone? Do you have an email that we'll be able to provide them? Would that be okay? Or a website or anything along those lines?
Yeah, they can either go to my kennel website. There my email's on there. So if they're interested, they can go to thehavenkennel.com.
Okay, we will link that on the show notes to be sure. Okay, so, and another one, and this kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about learn from your veterinarian. If the person doesn't want to go to California to get their first aid kit, if you talk to the veterinarian and say, I don't have a dog with a specific problem, but I would like you to prescribe for me 10 metronidazole and 10 amoxicillin and 10 cefalexin and give me these ointments, the veterinarian, if you just say that right off, may not understand. So is there a way that we talk to veterinarians about what we're trying to do?
Yeah, if you say, you know, I travel great distances with my dogs, I am an avid hunter, and my dogs are out in the field all the time, and frequently I'm 4 hours from the nearest vet. I've been in showing dogs or in the dog world for 15 years, and, you know, I'm relatively knowledgeable about my dogs, and can I just have some medication on hand? Our clinic is very responsive to that, but we do have a lot of people in the dog fancy in our clinic also, as far as clients. Your other thing is there are commercial animal first aid kits available. Sometimes they're just regular people first aid kits that are a little bit just marketed for animals, and they're not necessarily super complete, and none of them are going to have drugs in it. But you can start with just a basic first aid kit, and then add to it with the specialized stuff like the vet wraps, because fur doesn't handle tape very well, and the vet wrap works great as far as not taking off the coat and staying on the dog. Another thing, an Elizabethan collar or some type of collar to keep the dog from chewing at their bandage is good. If it's on the back half of the dog, I tell people to get a piece of cardboard and a tea towel and make them a neck brace that looks like they've been in an automobile accident and with a whiplash. And use duct tape and tape it on the dog, and they can't reach the back end of their dog. And it's cheap, it's disposable, and you're not out a whole lot of money.
Hey, redneck works, man. Duct tape solves everything.
Well, duct tape on bandages are not good because it doesn't breathe, and then you get a wet mess at the bottom of it.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.